Buenos días. The weather is awesome. Finally. Now I feel like I'm alive. I'm from Cuba, so when it's cold, it feels like Alaska. You know. You say, no, it's not cold. Yes, it is. It is cold. It is cold. Well, let's continue growing, learning how to properly relate to the world. As we continue with this sermon series on giving and financial stewardship in general, so we are all connected. So let's start reading the Word of God together as a community, so we all stand up. And if you are new, know that we do this together, as in the book of Acts, read the scriptures in public together. 1, 2, 3. Your presence among us. We recognize your mercies, your attention. Speak and we will obey. Holy Spirit, open our eyes to perceive and our ears to hear the word of God. Should our pastor preach the words of human wisdom based on his own opinion, we ask that you forgive him. Guard our hearts and minds and protect us from false teaching. Let your pastor proclaim the gospel of the kingdom by the Holy Spirit and of power. Friends in our faith, so that we may not be our Christians. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. We recognize you in this place. You are welcome here. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen. Please be seated. So this is a very powerful conclusion that Solomon, after all his life, after all he gained, one of the most wealthy people on earth back then, and even today, if we translate all his wealth to today, he's still super, super wealthy. And then at the end of his life, he's reflecting, looking back, and he's saying, you know, that he built houses, he built stuff, he got everything. The guy even had 1,000 concubines. Imagine that. I cannot even manage my wife. And this guy has 1,000 concubines. I'm like, it's crazy, right? The thing we go after when we are so hungry for stuff. And then if you gain everything, the world has to offer comfort, success, wealth, fame. The question here is, will it satisfy your soul? So when we were this past week working and reflecting with the staff, we are going through this teaching on apologetics. And one of the big things this week, perfect timing, was also this word meaningless that means hevel in Hebrew, hevel, meaning also translated as vanity and stuff and meaningless. Just this is a crisis for meaning. And the question is, what good is more if it doesn't lead to something eternal? And the challenge that we have today is that we are still trying, led by the Spirit, to go back to the Garden of Eden. In other words, reshift our reality so we focus on what is important. And the Bible teaches us that what you cannot see is permanent, but the things that you see are temporary. And if you want to really transcend this natural world, you have to focus on the things that you cannot see, beginning with God. But let's reflect the importance of having the right perspective as you and I walk on earth. First question, what matters most to you and why? Think about that. What is the most important thing for you? What is so important? And then can you articulate why? The why is important because as human beings, we have all these questions. Why I am here? Where I'm coming from? Where am I going? Is this everything? Is this all what I'm seeing? So what matters most to you and why? In other words, we are constantly identifying what is the most important thing for us and organizing our priorities around that. And even though we don't reflect as much daily on these subjects, it's so important that we do that so that when we end at the end of our life and our careers, you look back and you think that you really accomplished the things that are most important to you. But if you cannot answer why, that's a big problem. Because then you're going to be chasing after the wind. Here it is. How many of you can relate to this? Wherever you go, you have this. Even in Cuba, you have this, okay? So you go, you have this cotton candy, and you go, and your daddy and your mama buy it for you, and you, I want one. But then when you try to take it, what happens? It melts, right? Disappear. So this is a powerful picture of how we live our lives, because the way the world presents to us and the media and marketing and all of that, they present to you these things and the promise, you know, this looks big and awesome, it will satisfy me, but when you get it, it just melts. The desires goes away and you're still here trying to satisfy this emptiness that we have in our souls. And then it's just a promise that never you can realize. I don't know if you go to online today, you can even get married or at least have a boyfriend or a girlfriend online. You're just dating online, okay? Here's the thing, everybody looks awesome online, but when you, because I make sure I put the right things and the right picture and I'm fun and all of that until I meet you in person, right? Until I meet you in the real world. So that's what is happening with the stuff. We have all the things that the shiny and all the stuff that marketing and everything selling to us, and then when you get it, you realize it will not satisfy you. So this shifting between the spiritual world and the natural world. So when that happened, remember that God created us as human beings, and we were first spirit, then soul, then body. But then when we fall in the Garden of Eden, we shifted, and now we stop seeking God and keeping our attention in God to put it in stuff. And the moment that happens, we shift everything, and now the natural world is more important than the spiritual world. And all we are doing through the Holy Spirit is opening people's eyes so they can see that the natural world is temporary. Now, when you go back to the book of Genesis, you're going to see that Eve, she was seduced by the enemy to put the attention on the tree. So God says the tree is not good for you. But then, as the serpent was talking and seducing Eve, he said, well, the tree looks good. And then she said, well, it's the delight of the eyes, to desire to make one wise. Then she took it and then ate it, gave some to her husband, and then they both ate. And you know the story, they both died spiritually, not naturally. But this is the same process that we're following today. It's everything. The Bible says that the desire of the eyes, you cannot satisfy that. The love for the world, you cannot satisfy that. But then even today, we have all this idea of wisdom, that we are still trying to gain more wisdom. Everything how is about understanding, knowing more. And even today, we're in the same race, trying to know more. But the more we know, we're not fixing the most fundamental, simple problems. It seems like it's difficult for us to address the most simple stuff, like how to deal with hunger in the world, poverty, pain, isolation, all this stuff that we cannot satisfy by wisdom only. We are wise, but not for the right things. So this fundamental question happens after the fall. What is the world made of, and what is the deepest human needs? What are the deepest human needs? So everything shifted. Before, we were satisfied with God, and God only. And we, God was moving in the garden, and we were there, and everything was awesome, perfect. No needs, only God. I have God, I have everything. But then we shifted, and now we have other needs after we lost communion with God. And we all know that we have these basic needs: food, water, shelter, clothing, and the need to belong, justice. We all want justice one way or the other. You have community. We're hungry for community, recognition, love, spirituality. People say, well, I don't believe in God, but there is something up there. You know, the spirituality and all these religions and the new era and all the stuff, but we all need to believe in something beyond ourselves. And then love. We all need love, right? Belong, that someone love you, that someone connects with you, that you are important. Then you have transcendence. People want to make sure that they leave a mark on earth before they go, so they are remembered. And you have from the Greek ancient times, people were like these warriors. They want to, you know, leave a mark on earth. So we have, even in today, we're doing the same thing. We have all these plaques and stuff and towers and pictures and names in camps and we name buildings and we name stuff, you know, just with the idea to transcend this natural world, because deep inside, you know and I know that we are not supposed to die, that God created us eternal, to be eternal. So when you see death, you cannot reconcile death, because death is not part of the plan and it's not part of who you are. And then you have purpose. Why am I here? What is my purpose? And people are always looking for purpose. So all this stuff, all these needs came right when we shifted and we said, well, God is not enough. Let's start chasing after stops. And we have all these basic needs that we cannot satisfy. And then the enemy shows up and begins to amplify those needs. And that's when we start sinning. Now, you have this idea in the secular world that comes from Greek philosophy. I think the guy name is Democritus. He was the one who said, well, you know, the conclusion is this. After many, many conversations with Plato and all these great philosophers, the world is made of matter. So everything is matter. Nothing is real. Everything is matter and nothing else. And then we have time and we have understanding and we have will and power. All of that just to channel this understanding that matter is what is. There is the principle behind reality is matter and nothing else. And the moment you conclude that, now you lose track and you lose connection with God, because in reality, we all know that the world cannot be described only in terms of forces, stuff, atoms, and energy. There is more than that. So how you explain love? How you explain caring? What happens when you don't care anymore, right? When caring stops, then you have death. You have isolation, you have disconnection, you have all of that. If there is no love, there is no peace, there is no, I mean, all the things that really matters are not coming from matter, and we understand that, because life only comes from life. And then the whole world and the secular world is based on understanding and how we understand things, how the world works, and then will, energy directed into action, and then power, which is the permission that we give ourselves to do things and exercise the authority that we have to gain and to create and to do more stuff. So if you summarize what we have been doing all these years, is how can we get more stuff? How can we produce more stuff? How can we organize ourselves and increase our capacity to produce more stuff? And here we are in the 21st century, and we are the generation with more stuff than ever, and we are the most depressed generation. Never before, we have so much. And still, we can figure it out. We can figure out how to relate in a way that we are at peace and our hearts can rest. So the moment we understand that this is not the reality, that the biggest lie ever, that the world is just built and created with stuff, the moment you accept that as a way of life, that's all you're going to be doing. You're going to be chasing after the wind. Now, what is the natural result and the direct result of this? Well, the moment we shift what is important and we leave behind what is really important, now all the vices take place instead of the virtues. And now we have this desire for power, for pleasure, philanthropism, which is other ways now that people are trying to put their name on stuff and saying, okay, I did this, I create that. I don't want a relationship with the church. I don't want a relationship with Jesus or God, but I still believe. Christ or God recognition. That's fine. But here is the way we do this. We are walking away from God. Then you have pride, and where you become your own God, you become your own person, and everything is about you and about me. And then you have personal development, and now we need to improve ourselves. We go to a school, we go to all these motivational seminars, and we learn self-development. And then you have poverty, right? And then the more stuff we have, then we have poverty. And here's the issue with poverty, that when you have the philosophy that the world is creating through matter, and stuff is what is important, you go anywhere in the world, and you find people who are living in poverty, and you give them stuff. Do you think you're going to resolve the problem? The question is, no, because staff will not resolve the issue. People are getting divorced, drugs, addictions, domestic violence. People are doing all of that, and you give them a staff, now they are doing the same thing or even worse. The difference is they have more staff, right? And you can be having all of that, and you see people all the time in the news and everywhere, people with a lot of money, mansions, and people who are poor, and they are still empty. Right? Nothing can satisfy you because God was the one who created us. Now, what are the other idols that we see? Fame. Anybody want to be famous? Fitness. Anybody wants to do exercise and be fit and look six packs, right? All of that. And I have news for you. Doesn't matter what you do, it will be gone. Doesn't matter how hard you try, right? So all these things, that's why Solomon concluded chasing after the wind. Fortune, money, fitness, influence. I want to be an influencer. Happiness. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. I want to be happy. When happy is your idol, and happiness becomes your God, because that's what happens when you shift, and now you remove the supreme good, which is God. You remove God, and now happiness is your God. Then guess what? You're going to make decisions based on that. That's right? And we know that we are living in a fallen world. And in this fallen world that we're living, it's impossible to stay happy. Impossible. Something will happen. You get a call, you get a text, or something happens at work, and then it's gone. Or you are married for 20 years, 50 years, 50, and then you start saying, do I love this person? I'm not happy anymore. Guess what? Happiness is my responsibility, not yours. And the moment we realize that we need to switch happiness for joy, because joy is a fruit of the Spirit. Now, the fruit of the Spirit, which is joy, comes to your marriage. Now you are fine. But the moment you're looking happiness and you stay away from God, now happiness is the idol. And then we get divorced, and then we go by ourselves because I'm not happy. So I'm walking away from this job, from this relationship, from everything because I am not happy. So if you're looking for happiness, good luck. You want to find it. And God's mission is not for you to be happy. I said that before. God's mission is for you and I to look like Jesus. And whatever he has to do, he has to break you in the process. He will. But you will look like Jesus one day. That's the goal. The moment you say, come, Holy Spirit, he comes and he starts working on you and in me to start the transformation. And then the last piece, another idol, is legacy. Wherever you go, people are so focused on legacy. I want to, my legacy. What is your legacy? What is your legacy? Well, if you are preaching Jesus and you know that God is first and Jesus is the Lord of lords and the kings of kings, my legacy is Jesus. I don't want to be remembered. I want Jesus to be known. That's the legacy that you can pass to people and pass to your family and other people. But the moment you are obsessed with legacy, then you are chasing legacy, and then you don't spend time with your family. You don't spend time with the people that you love. You don't stop to think, to pray, to enjoy your life. No, you are after legacy and building all this legacy that when you are gone, nobody cares. After 10, 50 years, nobody cares anymore. Who are you? Even the house that you are living in, that you said is your house, I have news for you. If you're paying taxes, it's not your house. Okay? So most likely, we are all paying taxes, no matter what. Taxes on the land, taxes on the house is not yours. Everything that we put together, at the end of the day, is temporary. And God wants to reshape our vision so we start focusing on what is really important. Here is the conclusion of this wise man, Ecclesiastes 2:11. What it says? 1, 2, 3. Everything is meaningless if you don't pursue the right thing. Nothing can fill the soul because we have been created eternally to be eternal. We have created by an eternal God. So here we are trying to shape and to fill the void with stuff. It's impossible because God created the world, but he's outside of creation. And nothing in creation can satisfy you. We have been created to worship him and to honor him. And even if you don't believe in God, even if you don't believe in Christ, even if you don't believe that the Bible is the word of God, if you don't shift and you say, okay, God does not exist, there's no God, but I have to place other values as my center, either goodness or love or peace, something to really redirect you and help you, you know, walk your journey, or you will be so depressed that you will not be able to recover ever, because at the end of the day, we are many things in the world, but all of them leads to God. Even goodness, what you think is good, leads to God. So the distortion of this understanding, sensuality, greed, money, success, comfort, that's a good one, comfort. People want to be comfort. I want to be fine, help. You know, don't disturb me. I want to retire and retire well, fine, and everything. All the stuff, which is not bad, but you know what the Bible says about retirement? You retire when you die. And you retire when Christ comes for you. Because as long as you are here, you and I have a responsibility making disciples, preaching the gospel, testifying to others that Christ is alive and Christ is coming again. So the day you retire is the day that you expire. But God is saying to you and to me, it's not bad to aim for a good retirement. It's not bad. That's not bad. The problem is when you make that the center of everything. Does that make sense? God wants that you submit all these goods to him. Materialism, all the stuff, just remove that out of the way and put it in the right perspective. And then self, sexual immorality, all the stuff, all of that is me trying to worship myself and putting myself first. Solomon had a 1,000 women and he could not satisfy himself. The reason, the moment you remove love out of the equation of sex, that's when you have lust. That's the only reason. That's why sex cannot satisfy you unless you love the person. Hello? You put love in the equation, now you are satisfied with one person. You remove love out of the equation, and guess what? You can sleep with 1,000 men, because not only men experience this, women too, everybody. You can sleep with 1,000 men or 1,000 women, and guess what? You're not going to be satisfied. You can't. But if love is the center, and you love the person, and the person loves you, there is a connection, now there is satisfaction. And the same thing with this natural needs that the enemy comes and distorts and amplifies. You are hungry, it's fine to be hungry. That's a natural need. But if you are not at, if your heart is not at peace, you move from hunger to what? Gluttony. You eat and eat and eat and eat and eat. There is a hole in your soul that you cannot stop eating. Does that make sense? So that's the way it is. The distortion and the brokenness that we have in the world is leading us to all this stuff. And now we're seeing that the more we walk away from God, the more we walk away from the values that we have been living all these years, now we have this. The sacred is increasingly disappearing, and the profane is taking place. How many of you agree with this statement, that the more and more you are seeing this all over the place? You can reject God. We take prayer out of the schools. We take the Bible out of the way. We take God out of the way. And the more we do that, you see that darkness and fear and despair and hopelessness and division, all of that is taking place. Why? Because we're walking away from God. And now, even the church is suffering what I call a spiritual amnesia. Amnesia. It means from our purpose, calling, and foundations. Even the church, if we don't have these priorities right, it's so easy to start chasing stuff and forget why you are here, right? What is the purpose of what I have? Even the Greek philosophers, they said, okay, you have three levels of life. You be, you do, and you have. Being, doing, and having. And the moment you connect the three, you are a complete person. If what you are, who you are, and what you do, and what you have are interconnected, now you are blessed and you are a complete person. But sometimes you are one thing, you have other stuff not connected to who you are, and what you do is disconnected to who you are and what you have, so you are a mess. Does that make sense? Right now, so I know I am a pastor, I have a calling to preach the gospel, so everything I do is connected to who I am. I'm a child of God, I'm washed by his blood, I'm led by the Spirit, therefore what I do is connected to who I am. And not only that, what I have is also connected to what I do and who I am. Everything I buy, everything I do, everything I buy is always connected to who I am and what I do. If you go to my house, you're going to look around everything that you see, 99% of the things that you see, is connected to what I do and then to who I am. But if not, you start buying stuff. You're buying and buying. Why? I don't know, but I just want it. I saw a video about it. I saw a TikTok. I don't care. That's what the media is doing. 50 years ago, if you go to the stores, you only find things that someone needed so much, or a group of people needed so much, that we created it and put it on the store. Right now, 21st century is the century of image. Now we are creating needs that you don't have, and we create the illusion that you need it, so you buy it. And now the stores and online, everything is full of stuff that they are making us believe that we need. So people who are not part of the circle, they show up and, what is this? I don't know. What is this for? Nobody knows. Why? Because they convince us. You need this. You need this. You need this. You need this. And the reality is you don't need it. You only need God. You need to be satisfied with the Spirit. And here is the thing. The moment you start experiencing all of this, you have two group of people. Most of us are from the first group, rock bottom. In other words, you go through life and you sometimes go through so many things, you lose so many things, so many trials, so many challenges, and you hit rock bottom. And once you hit rock bottom, you say, oh my God, only God is important. Only God is real. I am here with a purpose to worship God, to know God, to make him known, and bow. Awesome. Now, just a few people, I say sometimes 10% of the population, they go to the top. They experience the cliff top, but it's the same effect. Cliff top, they, like Solomon, they are successful. They reach the end of success, the end of money, the end of fame, the end of glory, all of that. And then they are at the top of the cliff and they look down and the emptiness is so big that they realize nothing can satisfy me. So I need to find a bigger, something solid, something that is tangible, that really gives me a sense of belonging. And then over there they find God. Wow. That makes sense, church? Doesn't matter how you go. That's the reality. So, if we put this into perspective, we're going to understand success without purpose fits what? Emptiness. So why you do what you do? What is the purpose of the things that you have? And the other day I was talking to one of the guys and we were talking about, you know, people, I mean, especially in this church, we have so many people that have been so successful in their career. They know, you know, so much. And my hope is that you get all of that and now you say, okay, I have all this well of knowledge. Now it's time to give it back. Of course, rest. Of course, go out on vacation. And please take me next time. Right? But then come back and help someone with all of that you know. Find someone who is not, who needs what you have and just share it. That's the best way you can transfer knowledge from one generation to the next. This is what the Bible says. Can we read that together? 1, 2, 3. Again, you can be prosperous in the world. You don't need God. You can not acknowledge God and say, I'm going to be prosperous and not acknowledge God. The difference is that when you make wealth your God, you're not going to be satisfied. Now, you can also be blessed and you can reach prosperity, but God is at the top of it. You don't serve money serves you. That's a big shift. I have one master. His name is Jesus, not money. So money works for me. I don't work for money. That's the difference. And the moment you do that, you shift everything, and now there's no sorrow, because you know that even if you lose everything, as long as you have Christ in your heart, you are going to be fine. People lose things every day. Go to Cuba. We have now this Melissa hurricane and wipe everything. People lost everything. And they are still rejoicing and clapping and dancing and glory to God and glory to God, glory to God. Because when you don't have nothing, again, when you hit rock bottom, but you have Jesus, it's easier to get up and recognize that God is the center of everything. So I hope that you can answer this question now. What is the supreme good? And what is the foundation of human flourishing? What is the foundation of human flourishing? And you and I, we need to redefine what is the foundation of human flourishing, because we have a tendency to say, if my family, if my children, if I have a promotion, if I have more stuff, if I build things, if I'm successful, if I'm famous, then I'm flourishing, I'm doing well, right? And you do that when you don't have the right perspective, because the right perspective is, do you know God? Do you know Jesus? Because it doesn't matter how much you have. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, a relationship with God, and even if you don't believe in Christ, you don't believe in God, you have values, you have virtues that guide your life as your compass, you're going to be a good person. But you cannot be a good person without God, because God is the one who is instilling goodness in the world. Without God, there is no goodness. Impossible. Now, in the natural world, we define things. Everything is relative in the natural world. If I say, this woman is ugly, I'm comparing that woman with someone else. Because the only way I say she's ugly is because someone else, I already have a different standard of what beauty is. Yes or no? In America, if you are skinny, you are beautiful. Go to Africa. In Africa, the more blessed you are, the more beautiful you are, right? So you have all these different standards. It depends on where you go, right? This ugly, she's beautiful, the house is big, this house small. All of that is standards that we put together to compare each other. But God, when you get to heaven, there's nothing big in heaven. In heaven, everything is infinite. Hello. Jesus is preparing a house for you. How big it is? Infinite. You're going to see it's a big house, small house, all that is natural. And God is saying, stop comparing each other. Stop this idea that what is good and what is bad based on what you know and your standards. I am the standard. And if I say to you, you are beautiful, you are. I don't care if you are in Africa. I don't care if you are in America. If you are in Latin America, you are beautiful, because that's the way I created you. Hello? And if you receive that, doesn't matter where you are, that's your compass, that's your reference. Someone show up and say, you are not beautiful. I am beautiful. If you don't believe it, that's your problem. Talk to him. Because that's the way it is. That's the way it is. So my hope is that we all understand this, that human flourishing goes beyond having stuff, how we look, the color of my skin, and all these things that we put before God. Now, here's the thing. Even in the church, this is why this type of sermons needs to be preached in churches. Because even though, yes, we have God in our hearts, sometimes we go through life with the wrong philosophy, and we believe that the world is made of stuff, and then good and great things, other lesser goods, take the place of the supreme good. Is safety good? Yes. Is money good? Yes. Is family good? Yes. Is success good, diversity, inclusion, all of that is good, but cannot take the place of God. So the moment you shift everything, and now you put everything before God, you start shifting And now you are start lose, you begin to lose your purpose and your capacity to direct your life in a way that is healthy. For example, how many of you remember COVID-19? You remember that? Okay, remember, you forgot already? If you forgot, breathe, do this. Thank you, COVID-19 is gone. So hear this. We put safety as the supreme good. Whatever you promote to the place of God, the supreme good, is going to become an idol, even if it's good. You have safety. We need to be safe. We need to be safe. So vaccinations and don't contact and don't go to church and all of that. And then we sacrifice all the other goods for safety. That's what we do. So when your one of these becomes the idol, you are willing to sacrifice everything for the sake of safety. Safe is good, but not to the point where I cannot worship, I cannot serve God. Now I'm away from my family. Mental health is now breaking. Everything that happens in COVID is the result of us giving the priority to what is not important, what is not the most important. And now, if we're going to have the right perspective, we have to shift and replace everything. Not that money is bad, not that family is bad. Is God the first and the most important thing? Because even family, you need to know that you spend your life raising your family, 15 years, 20 years, 25, 30 years, and then your children grow up and they say in your face, it's my life. Yes or no? It's my life, they say. Your life? I wish I knew that 20 years ago, 40 years ago. Okay, so we do that because the children, when they grew up and now they have their own families, now their perspective changes. Now you're not the most important thing for them. Now the new family is. Hello. So now they own all the attention and all the care to the new family. And you are left behind waiting for a phone call, waiting for a visit in Christmas, hoping that they desire to spend Christmas with you or visit you in Thanksgiving or something like that. Because they are now living their own life. And then you say, I understand. But inside of your heart, you don't understand anything. Hello? Hello? Because God is saying to us, family is important. But here I'm telling you, you have to put family where? Under God. So you know that you know that you know that safety, success, all of that is important. Inclusion, diversity. Today, you know, diversity is so important. Now everyone wants to be black. Why? Now everyone has to have, everyone wants some color. Give me some color so I qualify. Because now if you are white, you are done. America is going crazy. White supremacy, white supremacy. Now we have what? A color supremacy, right? We just change stuff. We just change one idol for the other idol. That's what we do. In reality, who created black people? God did. Who created Asian people? God did. Who created the Europeans? God did. In the Latin Americas, with flavor? Who created us? God did. So we have been created by God. So there is no such a thing as the black church and the white church and the yellow church and this church. It's the church of Christ. That's it. It's one church under one God. And the moment we understand all of this, we're going to value each other, not by the color of the skin or my accent or my language, but because God created us, and we are causing, we are related, my friend. We all come from one place. We all come from one place. One place. One place. So, let's read this together. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Whatever you're chasing, if it's not God, it's not the most important thing. God of wisdom and abundance, teach us to define success by your standards, not by the world's standards. Break our addiction to accumulation. Help us to see the joy of simplicity and the beauty of contentment. Let our resources serve your mission and not our egos. Shape our hearts for eternity and align our life with your purpose. We pray in the powerful name of Jesus.